Forget about yourself now and concentrate on building a healthy self-image among those around you who think too little of themselves. Billy Graham was in England several months ago, and tremendous success as always. Thousands of people were attending the meeting, and hundreds of people were coming to know Jesus. After one of the meetings, a young reporter, came to Ethel Waters, who was there on the program, and said, "Ethel, how do you account for the tremendous success of this man, Billy Graham?" Ethel Waters smiled, and in that beautiful voice of hers said, "Honey, God don't sponsor no flops." And I can tell you for sure that's true. God don't sponsor no flops. If we're failing, let me be as kind as I know how to be and tell you, we may have the wrong sponsor. Jesus wants you to win. Jesus wants you to come out on top. Read the book of Deuteronomy. Guests were in our home a few days ago, spent the night, and we were sharing. They had been from out of state, came for counseling for several hours, and as we shared with them and read from the book of Deuteronomy, the word simply says that we were designed to be the winners. He said, "I want you to be the head, not the tail. I want you to be the winner, not the loser. I want you to be the lender, not the borrower." God has a plan for our lives today, and I believe that Christians everywhere are discovering God's plan for their lives. I believe it simply has to decide and begin with an individual deciding what he believes or she believes God's plan for their life is, and start in that direction. Jim Poppin was doing poorly in high school. In fact, his mom and dad often wondered if he'd ever graduate. He finally got out of school, and after getting out of school, most people were saying, "Jim Poppin will never go to college, that's for sure." One day, to the surprise of his mom and dad, Jim Poppin came and said, "Dad, I want to go to college." Reluctantly, his dad said, "Okay, Jim, if that's what you want, your mom and I will stand behind you, support you to the best of our ability, and help you get into college." Jim had gone away to college and came back home and told his mom and dad that he was working awfully hard trying to become a doctor of all things. That night, Jim's dad heard a noise downstairs, tiptoed in the dark downstairs and through dark rooms until finally he came to a kitchen where all the noise was taking place. And it was total darkness. Jim's dad flipped on the light, and there sitting in the floor under the kitchen table was his son, Jim Poppin. His dad's first thoughts were it was too much for him. He's flipped his lid. He couldn't stand it. It was just too much. And Jim crawled out from under the table and said, "Dad, I decided several months ago that I was going to be a brain surgeon. And I have to learn to tie knots in places I can't see. And from every leg of every chair and every table in that room, Jim Poppin had tied knots and strings from one chair leg and one table leg to the other. He said, "Dad, I've got to be able to tie knots where I can't see. I've got to be able to tie knots in the dark, in places that I have no idea with my eyes what's happening." I was surprised, Gay, that day in Odessa, Texas, when I heard on the radio that John Kennedy had been shot. One of the most shocking bits of news that I ever heard in my life. It was only shortly after that news that the radio released further news, which said Dr. James Poffin, leading brain surgeon from Boston, is flying to California to examine President Kennedy, who lies in critical injury with a bullet in his brain. Mom and dad, grandparent, employer, employee, it's our responsibility to help those around us discover the tremendous and unlimited ability that is dormant in many cases within them. One writer said, most people will go to their grave with their music still in them. Never sung it yet, never said it yet, never done it yet. I have the feeling that I'm speaking to people tonight who have never dreamed of the full potentials of your life. I have a feeling that I'm talking to people who could do 10 times more with less effort than you're now putting out to accomplish what you're accomplishing today. You're a winner. You're champions. God designed you to be champions. You're not just champions, you're national champions. I believe when the church body today begins to feel the energizing effect of God's power and His presence moving in our lives and directing us toward the goal that He designed and that He wrote down in His book, I believe at that time we'll begin to recognize fully and completely what God designed us to be. What about the older folks? What about those who are aging? How do you build the self-image in them? The key for the aging is self-esteem. Dr. E.W. Bussey, Jr. at Duke University Medical Center says, without self-esteem, they cannot maintain their health. Our society has little place for the non-achiever. Therefore, we must convince the elderly they're worthwhile and they're needed. Dr. Bussey began a research project that started back in 1954, involved many factors in the aging process. His findings are as follows. Number one, the death rate increases after admission to the home for the aging. Number two, they must remain productive in their life. Don't have to do as much. May not even have to do the things they one time did. But the aging, in order to maintain a good feeling about themselves and live out their full life, they must be productive at something. Before retirement, money, position, accomplishment builds self-esteem. Withdraw these from that person, and something must be found to replace that in their life. They only live from 4 to 7 years after retirement, if they stop being productive. If you want your mom and dad to live a long time and be happy and positive, you must help them become or continue to be productive in their lives. This is a work that every person present in this building today could help those around us to accomplish and to achieve in their own life. Society has a responsibility to the aging. Every person has a responsibility to the aging. I believe the more we can help release in the aging their capacities and their abilities, the more you and I will be able to fit into that same pattern, and others will assume responsibility of helping us fit into that category as we all begin to get older. Give the opportunity to contribute to them. Also, you must praise their work. Nothing will do more for any individual than praising them for what they're now involved in. The aging must remain active. Nobody would think of allowing a valuable machine to just sit and rust. Here's a bit of advice that was written by a resident of one of those homes. It might help you to build self-love in your aged friends. Blessed are you who understand our faltering steps and shaking hand. Blessed are you who know that our ears today must strain to catch the words you say. Blessed are you who look away when the coffee was spilled on the table today. Blessed are you who seem to know that our eyes are dim and our wits are slow. Blessed are you who, with a cheery smile, stop to chat with us for a while. Blessed are you who never say, when you came to visit, you told me this story twice today. Blessed are those who know the ways, who bring back memories of yesterday's, and blessed are you who make it known that we're being loved, respected, and are not alone. Let me remind you, the aged feel guilty if they suspect they're a burden to their family and their friends. We must teach them possibility thinking. What is it? The possibility thinking person, regardless of age or physical capabilities, knows if he is cheerful, uncomplaining, happy, twinkling, he will never be a burden to anyone, regardless of how long he lives. The joy-producing, happiness-spreading, enthusiasm-generating person is always a great source of spiritual strength in any home. He is not just taking, he is giving. It's the grumbling, self-pitying, self-condemning person who is a burden to those around him. Let me share some magic words to build the self-image of those around you. Number one, I'm sorry. It helps other people know that they are not bad. A father, mother, teacher, minister, employee, and employers should learn to use these words. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Number two, I appreciate you. These are magic words. We're often too busy, so preoccupied. Self-esteem leaks out. I hate to tell you that, but you must know the truth. If we feel we are taken for granted, our self-esteem starts dissipating right before our eyes. You know, you were right. I was wrong. This builds self-love. It takes a big man to admit he's wrong. And it builds the self-esteem of those who hear you say it. I suppose this is one of the reasons that Polly and I never want any congregation to operate or to live under the auspices that we have perfect lives. Even though we know life today like we never dreamed life could ever be lived. I never knew, darling, in the happiest moments of our life that it could rise to this level. I dreamed about it, and you did too. But only in the past few years have we experienced it, since the mid-70s. life that is almost unexplainable. An endless flow of happiness, joy, and peace and excitement with one another. Nothing builds self-esteem more than loving your mate and knowing your mate loves you more than anyone else in the world. Another magic word is, I'm not sure about this. What do you think we ought to do? What magic words these are. Most important, you build self-love when we teach that greatness depends more on character than on achievements. Every person present has with them the potential and the ability to accomplish any task that God ever dreamed or put into your thoughts. I have the feeling when you were born, the moment you entered this present world, that God whispered in your ear and said, you are the greatest miracle in the world. I believe those were the first words you ever heard. Though you may not remember them, though you may not have knowledge of them, your memory bank recorded those words. You were wonderful because God never made another individual just like you. You were a special person then, and you are a special person now. But knowing that up here is not enough. You must know it down inside. The Japanese grow a tree they call the bonsai tree. This tree is about 18 inches tall when it's fully grown. It'll never get any bigger. It's beautiful. It's stately. It's almost perfect in its structure, but it's tiny. Go with me now to California to the giant trees, some of them called the sequoias. Some of you have viewed some of those trees. Some of them are large enough you can drive an automobile right through them. One such giant tree is called the General Sherman. Stands 272 feet tall. It's 79 feet in circumference. There's enough lumber in this one tree to build 35 five-room houses and have lumber to spare. You know what's strange about it? At one time, both trees were exactly the same size. At one time in the life of both trees, they weighed 1/3,000th of a pound of an ounce. The bonsai tree, after it started its growth, was pulled up by the roots. The taproot was tied off. The feeder roots were strangled. And it was replanted to grow. It was designed to be a miniature. The General Sherman grew up in the rich soil of California, watered by the warm rains from the coast, fed by the minerals of the soil, and it grew to be the giant that it is. But of these two trees, neither of them had a choice. That's where it differs with you. you have a choice. You can be a bonsai tree. You can be a General Sherman. The decision is totally up to you. What you'll do with your life, what you'll do with your time, what you'll do with your energy is all in your hands. It's all up to you. You have a choice. Let me ask you another question. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Let me make a suggestion. Determine tonight, I'm going to make life count. I'm going to start today being me. No longer to be somebody else. No longer to play games. No longer to be phony. No longer to be plastic. No longer to be somebody that I'll never be able to be. But from today forward, I'll be me. The moment you decide, and the moment you start in that direction, your life will never be the same again. You'll become relaxed. You'll become happy. You'll start doing what you do for pleasure. Several years ago, I stopped working for money. Though I had less than I'd had in many years, I started working for sheer pleasure of working. You know why I enjoy what I'm doing today? This is what God designed me to do. I've never had as much fun. I've never enjoyed anything as much in my life. But I'm doing what God designed me to do. It's comfortable. It's enjoyable. It's exciting. And God always sees through someone that our needs are met. Let me suggest to you, you stop working for money. Start working for the sheer reward of having done a good job. The enthusiasm that comes from accomplishing a great task. For the fun of having done something well. Start working for the pleasure of it. What'll happen when I do that, Perry? I'm glad you asked, and I have the answer. You're going to do it 10 times better than you ever thought you could do it. The day you start working for the fun of it. You'll enjoy it. You'll love it. And those you work for, those you're associated with, will suddenly realize they're working with a brand new person. Who's that, Perry? The real you. Let's pray. Take the hand of those by you, will you, please? Darling, will you join me? Gay, will you come stand beside us? Father, I thank you in these closing moments. I thank you, first of all, for the opportunity to share with this local body and with those who will listen by cassette tape. I thank you for the awareness we have had of the presence of the Holy Spirit. For the way you have gripped our hearts and caused us to make new commitments to you about our future. As these precious people now are saying yes to you and to the word they've heard, give them the courage now. Let me encourage you, if heads still bowed, that you'll never be the same again. You'll never go back to the life you one time lived. But that from this moment on, you'll be you. Remember, God won't say, why were you not Perry? He won't say to you, girl, why weren't you Polly? But he will say to you, why weren't you you? That's all he'll request. That's all he'll ask. That's all you'll have to give an account for. And that'll be easy once you start doing it. Did you know that the person who fails in life puts out more energy in failing than the person who's a success? I used to say, you pay for success. No. You don't pay the price of success. You enjoy the price of success. It takes just as much energy to live a bad life, if not more, than it does a good life. The person who is a failure pays for it every day, 365 days per year. The person who is a success, who lives out what God designed them to be, enjoys the price of success every day of their life. Father, with this commitment, we commit ourselves to be all that you want us to be, to from this day forward to love us so that we will be able to respond properly in loving others. Our whole purpose in doing it is to become more productive and to be able to love others as you designed us to love others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.